The writer of Proverbs 31 in verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he should have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat or food to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and the fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the staff. She stretches out her hands to the poor, yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles of it to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters or many women have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she is the one who shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? That question there in verse 10 implies this answer: no man can find such a woman. The passage, though, is not here to bring us to despair that such no woman exists, but rather it is here to encourage every woman to pursue the highest standards of excellence with your life. Ladies, when you read and study this chapter, it is not God's intent to have you walk away from this being discouraged or thinking that there is no way you can measure up. It is here to give you a gauge and a guide as to characteristics and qualities for you to work toward achieving. Let me speak to the men just for a moment. Men, these verses are not here to have us judge our wives or other ladies or to use it to tell them that they are just not biblical. But men, these verses are here for us to help our wives to achieve these traits so that she can be all that God desires. These ladies that went to the conference, they were explaining to you, saying, "We want to band together, ladies. We need each other. Men, we need not be left out." We are there to encourage our wives, to encourage the mothers of our children, perhaps. Husbands, let me also tell you this. We need to encourage our wives to be women of strength, a strength that can only be found in the Lord. Thank you, ladies, for phone calls and texts. I guess that's even better. Cards that you send to my wife. My wife needs to know that you love her. She needs to know that she can be strengthened by you. You know, I'm the pastor, and there's these qualifications, if you will. There's this chart, and there's books. There's not a whole lot on being a pastor's wife. What does that look like? Who does she go to, for instance, in the church to help her explain to her what a pastor's wife is? She may be the only one. Thank you, ladies, for encouraging and strengthening my wife. This passage is also here for single men in the audience. Young men, seek a wife of excellence, not perfection, but of excellence. Seek a wife who loves and reverences and respects and fears her Lord. And also to the single women that are here, use this scripture to prepare yourself to be excellent wives and godly mothers when God bestows that role upon you someday. Wives, mothers, grandmothers, as we read this chapter of Proverbs, I would ask you to determine to be a woman who pleases the Lord. Draw attention to the activities and the priorities of this woman who fears the Lord. Depict in detail why a man who finds a virtuous woman obtains favor from the Lord. Guys, I don't know about you, but I am glad, I am blessed to have a woman who fears the Lord, whose Lord is first in her life, who is a virtuous woman. I have four things I want us to look at about this virtuous woman this morning. To begin with, a virtuous woman has her priorities in place. First of all, her priority should be the Lord God. As we sang these songs this morning, worshiping the Lord, I hope you picked up some of those words in those songs. It's all about Lord Jesus Christ being first in our life. He is the one we worship. He is the one we adore. He is the one who leads and guides us. He is the one who strengthens us. And a virtuous woman recognizes that and says, I'm going to make sure the Lord is first in my life. Oftentimes my wife will come to me, honey, I love you, but you're not first in my life. And then I wait for that sweet answer. She says, my Lord and Savior Jesus is first in my life. And I say, honey, that is wonderful. Secondly, a virtuous woman, her priority should be her husband. It should be your husband. Be devoted to your husband. I think I said last week that 77% of depictions of sexual relationships on TV is outside of the marriage bond. 77%. That's almost 8 out of 10 episodes that you see with someone hugging or kissing someone or speaking on the phone or Facebooking or texting is outside of that marital bond. That's a crisis. A virtuous woman says, no, my priority is going to be my husband. Third, her priority is sons and daughters or her family. Fourth, it is the running of her household. Fifth, she has compassion, according to these verses, compassion and care for her servants. In modern times, that would be for all of those who are around her. She has compassion and care. Sixth, the Bible tells us this virtuous woman is concerned for the poor and those who are less fortunate. Seventh, she is ready then to help the needy. And when you think about it, these are the priorities and examples of Jesus himself. Ladies, have Christ-like priorities. Can I encourage you, exemplify Christ in all that you do. Secondly, a virtuous woman is active. Have you ever noticed that a mother is never idle? When I go to visit my mom, she's going to be 82. And you see the joy in her face, I guess because we're visiting. But she's always ready to go and do some things. And I was there a few weeks ago. I said, Mom, you're not going to cook this time. We're just going to go out and eat and enjoy. And she said, well, I don't want to do that. I said, no, seriously, we're going to go out. And my mom is a great cook. I said, no, we're going to do this. And she said, no, I would rather, and there she is, preparing food for the family. A mom is never idle. She's always doing something. If she's not at her secular job, she's at work, at home. Oftentimes, she is cooking and cleaning, comforting, taxiing, washing, helping with homework, listening, just to name a few. Cindy Webb, is that you on that picture? This passage here in Proverbs 31. Great picture, by the way, Faith. I like that. This passage explains all of those activities that mom is involved in. Let me just kind of put it in modern term and language. She shops for the best quality that she can afford. Verses 13, 14, 22, and 24. She works with willing hands. She provides clothing for her household and then for herself. I love this verse. She gets up early to make sure everyone has food for the day. She ensures that her family does not run out of supplies. She prepares ahead for harsh circumstances. She carefully invests her money and works to profit from those investments. She helps meet the needs of the poor. And finally, there in verse 27, she watches over the activities of her household. That is a catch-all phrase, if you will. For whatever is not listed in detail in the rest of those verses, everything else that mom does can be put into that verse. Mom does it all. For that godly mother is never idle. Thirdly, a virtuous woman has that label because of her character. A mother and a grandmother is characterized by these characters that the writer here spells out in Proverbs 31. Trustworthiness, consistent. She has high standards. She's industrious and productive, initiative, service, honor, compassion, confidence. Most of all, the Bible says in verse 26, her wise words and instruction are spoken with love. I got humored the other day when my wife was instructing. Does that sound really good? One of our grandkids. And my wife has been known to beat our kids and grandkids with the paper towel roll. And for years, I have thought, all of this wasted money. These paper towel rolls, we're wasting napkins. And she'll say in love, I'm going to beat you. And we all know she's going to grab the paper towel roll. But those kids and those, and here's how I was humored, because one of the kids, our kids, was then yelling at her own kid, stand there and take it, I had to endure it my whole life. But I like the end of this verse 26. Those words of instruction, guidance, and correction are spoken with love. Moms, when you correct your children, and grandmas, when you correct your grandchildren, the virtuous, godly woman will do it because she loves them and wants what's best for them. That's the character of this virtuous woman that the writer was writing about in Proverbs 31. And then lastly, being a virtuous woman and motherhood often goes without notice or thanks. But this virtuous woman, a godly mother, a loving grandmother, will have rewards, the Bible says. Some of these rewards are found, look at in verse 10, she is far more precious than jewels. Mom, you're precious this morning. Verse 11 says that this godly mother is trusted and praised and prized by her husband. Guys, I hope you are trusting and praising and prizing your wife. That's the wife that God gave you. Most of the time, that's the mother of your children. And we should be doing that, rewarding her for her work. In verse 22 and 31, we see some more of these blessings that this virtuous woman has. The community has respect for her husband. And it says it's enhanced. In verse 28, her sons, the Bible says, and basically sons and daughters, or her family, will rise up and call her blessed. Verse 30 says that she will be praised. That virtuous woman, that godly woman who displays those characters of Christ will be having this blessing of being praised. For the verse 31 says she deserves the reward for her labor, for she is known and receives praise for her works. But above all of that, above all that a mother and a grandmother does, nothing is more important or precious than how she feels or speaks or lives and is toward the Heavenly Father, her Lord and Savior. You can be a great mom, a good playmate for your children. You can be that loving, kind grandma. But can I just encourage you that more precious than that, more important to that, is how you are with your relationship with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? For in verse 30, we find some of the most powerful words of all of the Bible. And here's what they are: a woman who fears the Lord. What in the world does that mean? That powerful phrase expresses the key to a woman's personal success and receiving praise from others and from the Lord, because those words express a woman's personal regard for God Almighty. A woman who fears the Lord. That theme, just basically here in chapter 31, continues the theme which was introduced in the beginning of the book of Proverbs. This poignant phrase defines wisdom. Look at these verses with me. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Ladies, you want to know how to run your household. You want to know how to instruct your children and your grandchildren. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge. In Proverbs 2, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find knowledge of God. In Proverbs 9, 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 15, 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And I want you to notice this other verse here, Proverbs 1, 28 and 29. It's the reversed effect of what might happen. Then shall they call upon me, God says, but I will not answer. These people will seek me early, God says, but they will not find me. Why not? For they have hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. You want to find God this morning? It all starts with our fear of the Lord. You want to call upon God so that He will hear and answer your prayers? It all begins in our relationship with the Lord, and it starts with, I have a fear for the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord. We can add in, when we call upon God, He will hear. A woman who fears the Lord, when she seeks God early, she shall find Him. This idea did not just appear in this book of Proverbs. In fact, it permeates all of Scripture. It was the major theme of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses and that are recorded in Exodus chapter 20. Later in Deuteronomy chapter 12 or 10 verse 12, God spoke these words, which Moses shared with the people, and I want to share them with our ladies today. And here's what Moses shared. He says, and now Israel, God says, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Ladies, here's what God is saying to you this morning. What does God require of me, a woman? And here's what God says, fear the Lord thy God. Walk in all of His ways. Love Him. Serve the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul. That is what God is asking of you, ladies. In Job chapter 28, verse 28, we read, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Guys, we're included in that. You want to make your wife and the mother of your children and the grandmothers the best that they can be, then it all starts, gentlemen, with us too, having this sense of, I'm going to fear the Lord, because that's where it starts. Why? Because the psalmist said in 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise will endure forever. Primarily, this phrase of fearing the Lord implies the righteousness of one's heart toward God, rather than any alienation of the heart of the unbeliever. It's all about the believer. What is your relationship to God? Can I just say this? I do not believe any of us, man or woman, can fear the Lord in the sense that the Bible is telling us to without first giving up our own individual desires. What does that mean? That means we must turn away from our selfish desires. We must turn away from having it our own way, and we must turn our full attention to the Lord, our God, and our Savior. As I said last week, to fear the Lord means that we totally surrender to Him. We surrender our mind and our body and our heart and our will. And so women, ladies, let me just encourage you this morning to get to that point where you not only fear the Lord, but you say, I am going to totally surrender myself to Him. Here's what will happen. Proverbs 3:5, if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not into your own understanding. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, he that finds his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, shall find his life. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 16, 24, if any man or if any person, and if any man or woman or child will come after me, let him deny himself, take up your cross, and follow me. Matthew 19:21, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have, Jesus was telling that rich young ruler, give it to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven if you will come and follow me. Can I just say this? You cannot follow Christ if you're holding on to your own selfish desires. It just won't happen. Jesus said in Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Got to give it all up. To fear of the Lord means I am going to give it all up and focus entirely my heart and my life, my being, my mind, my body, my stubborn will to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. By fearing the Lord, you willingly accept God's rebuke. You accept His correction. You accept His commandments, which in turn, though ladies, will lead to this life set apart unto God. Guys, that's what we should want. We should want our ladies, our wives, our mothers, our grandmothers, we should want them to say, I want you to have a life set apart unto the Lord. Now, Satan might get in your mind and he may say, well, you don't want that because your wife then will be gone too much. Your mom will be gone too much. You see, God says it differently. God says in His Word, that person is the one that I will praise. That person I will listen to their prayers. That's the person I will answer. That's the person I will give knowledge and wisdom to. That person who says, I am going to follow Christ. That person, that lady who says, I am going to set my life apart and follow Christ. That woman who truly fears the Lord will be set apart because of these characteristics. First of all, she has begun a spiritual journey to know the Lord. I hope you know Christ as your Savior this morning. I can look out in the audience and I think probably most, if not all of you, are at that stage. But let me ask this question, ladies. Where are you on your spiritual journey? Where are you? Have you even started? I mean, you got saved and you accept Christ as your Savior, and that's great. But are you growing in the Lord? Are you praying daily? Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying it? By the way, we're reading Joshua this month as a church. Folks, we've made it very easy. One chapter a day, each month, and you'll get through these books. And many of you are doing that. That's all part of this spiritual journey to know the Lord. You're just not reading the book. You're doing it so that you can know the Lord. Are you growing? Are you maturing? As the ladies were talking about the conference, what went through my mind, and often does when the men come back, the same thing. Two questions. As I saw those ladies standing here, I was trying to think, have they grown? Have the church and the pastor, have they led those ladies to grow in this past year? And then what are we going to do as a church to get them to grow this next year? It's all about maturing and growing in the Lord. Ladies, begin, if you haven't, your spiritual journey. Secondly, this lady who is a set apart has determined to turn back from going her own way, and she has determined to follow the Lord. Miss Sherry, I heard in your voice, and I saw it in your eyes, your determination to say, here I am, Lord, I'm broken and I'm in pieces, but I am determined to follow the Lord from this point on. Ladies, have you determined above all else to live your life set apart to the Lord? The writer of Proverbs chapter 3 says, in all of thy ways acknowledge him being God, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Basically, don't follow your own ways. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And thirdly, this virtuous woman who says, I want to fear the Lord and I want to set apart my life. When a woman sets apart her life to God, she will experience a genuine joy and satisfaction. Proverbs there in 31:25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Experience genuine joy and satisfaction. Pastor, how do I get that? You're going to set your life apart to the Lord and fear God. And then fifthly, she reaps the fruit of a disciplined life. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. A virtuous woman will reap the fruit of a disciplined life in the Lord. I don't know if I'm getting old or crazy. I'm just having a hard time anymore trying to understand why Christians have no desire to even try to live a disciplined life in the Lord. I don't get it. I need to read God's word. I need to pray. I need you guys. It's horrible in an evil world that we live in. I need you. And we need each other. Ladies, gentlemen, whoever you might be, we need to make sure we are living a disciplined life so that we can reap the fruits of that. And what is that? It's living with the Lord. It's having wisdom and understanding. It's having God say, I've got this, my child, I've got this. And then sixthly, she is determined to serve the Lord with a whole heart. Serve the Lord with a whole heart. Not part of it, but all of it. I appreciate my wife a lot of times, and she makes me nervous. We have different styles. But I appreciate her so much in the sense that when someone is struggling and maybe have one foot in the world and one foot over here and try to balance yourself or try to do anything when you're like this, it just doesn't work. But in that love that she has and in that voice that she has, she'll come up and get in your face and say, look, it doesn't work when you've got one foot over here and one foot over here. You will be torn apart. And in love, all she's saying is this, serve the Lord with a whole heart. And we need people like her to say, look, here's what God's word says. I love you. I'm going to encourage you, and I'm right there for you, but I can't water it down. I can't make it what it ain't. Proverbs 31:31 concludes there, give her, that virtuous woman, give her the fruit of her hands or the fruits of her labor. To fear the Lord is to move beyond a reverential trust in Him. You see, that word really means love and respect. But when we truly fear the Lord, we move beyond that. We get to the point that you know that the Lord is not only watching what you do, but He's listening to what you say, and He is reading your thoughts before they're even verbalized. To fear the Lord means that you are constantly aware that you are in the presence of the holy, just, all-powerful God of the universe. And you realize that every thought in your mind and every word in your mouth, every action in your life are all open to Him. Can we determine to say, I'm going to serve the Lord with my whole heart? When the Bible speaks of heart, it doesn't mean this thing that's beating here, for this is nothing but a muscle. When the Bible speaks of heart, it means my entire being. I'm going to serve the Lord. It is in that state, a state of fearing that you will disappoint or hurt the one who you love above all others, that you deliberately commit your life and your mind and your body and your heart and your will to learning about Christ and learning what He truly does expect of you. As a woman who fears the Lord, you devote or you commit, you surrender yourself all to the Lord, His ways, in a wholehearted pursuit of not pleasing your husband, not pleasing your family, but pleasing Him. Ladies, if you will just work on pleasing the Lord, I am positively assured everything else will fall into place. There may be some bumps along the way, but you see, when you please the Lord says, I hear you, and I've got you. Please the Lord. You see, when you please the Father, you'll please your husband and your family. And the end result is this, women, ladies, moms, grandmothers, they and everyone around you, your family, your friends, your church family, everyone will call you blessed. Amen. Let me close with these wonderful words, which were spoken to Mary, the mother of Jesus, by the angel Gabriel. When Gabriel was announcing that she would give birth to the Son of God, here's what he said. He said, Mary, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Mothers and grandmothers, ladies, you are highly favored in God's eyes. The Lord is with you today, and blessed are you.